I was just going to ask you. I mean, I'm the one to meet you guys because I thought it was. I was told see this film, and it's and the sense of vitality, tension. It doesn't feel. It feels very, very, very well grounded in something real. Like it's hard to put my finger on it, but I know that you guys have put a lot of time into the screenplay. I know that you. Which one of you guys was working with Shin Bet? Was that what I read? Shin Bet?
It's not true. It's a rumor. It's not true.
Did you work in any capacity, either of you, with any security agency, have any immersion in any of those realities that we see? Nothing.
Immersion, like, you know, as people who, you know, I was in the army, but it has nothing to do with that. And Ali, you should tell him about your Ali's work is, of course, related to that.
I'm a journalist, and I covered the army and the intelligence services from the Palestinian side, the operations of the army and of the Shin Bet to arrest this and that, or to go into this and that town in the Palestinian Authority. But this is the only thing I had with the Shin Bet.
No, the Shin Bet we had to learn. Yes, I mean, when we started this, we wanted to learn the whole thing. And this stuff, that it's a lot of stuff I can tell you in a second, a lot of stuff we didn't understand in a priori. Ali, of course, knew all the stuff about Hamas, Al-Aqsa, the Palestinian Authority, because he was covering it from the for the paper. And we had to also, so that was easy for us to get into. But the Israeli Secret Service, they are not allowed to talk. And it took us time to get to people who are who opened it and explain to us the dynamics of running informants, how to recruit and run them. And how it's based on emotion, how they're looking for people, they say like this, with a hole in their soul, somebody who has something he doesn't get in their world. You know, in our case, it's a father figure.
And just for those who have not seen your film, I'm going to explain that the informant in this case is a kid who they first got to him at age 15.
Yes, right? Yes.
And the hole that you describe is, as I understand it, largely he is subordinate and a junior member of the family.
Yes.
His older brother is the star. He's the rock star.
Yes, exactly.
So he feels, well, what's in it for me, you know? Right. But I was still amazed initially that a young boy from a Palestinian family would, because he's not personally satisfied, feels unappreciated, would actually talk to the other side. That struck me as odd, but then I got to know him. How often has this happened to your knowledge? Are there a lot of kids that they got to?
No, they said kids. Okay.
At different level. Listen, the Israeli Shin Bet is the second employer in the Palestinian Authority after the Palestinian Authority itself.
Really?
This is one of the amazing things that we discovered during the research, and I can tell you that the Palestinian Authority is employing 120,000 persons.
So you can imagine whether we're talking about 70,000 or about 1,000, a different level of being informant. It's not always the informant that gives you the final, the last detail that gets you to your target. There are different level of being informant. And yes, kids are also part of this system. And we know that in order to have such a kid as informant, you need special permission from the Shin Bet to recruit these ages of guys. But yes, these ages of guy are part of the system. How often are we really don't know what are the numbers of kids being informants?
They insist that it's not typical. That like when Israeli Secret Service saw the movie, and a lot of them did now, because it's like really on their turf in Israel. We had screening with the chief of the Secret Service. We had like everybody see it, the big guys, everybody. And they said we really got they were disturbed a little bit by the film because it kind of put light on stuff that they don't like put light on. And they said the one thing that kind of was hard for them, they said usually we don't run kids that age, but it's possible. Like if, like in this case, that it's the brother of a target or somebody they really want, they'll do it. Now there's how many we don't know, but there's a famous case of, it's not somebody that age, but you know about the Green Prince story that was in CNN, that the son of the top Hamas, one of the founders of Hamas was an informant.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So it shows you that it can be anybody. It's not like, you know what I mean? And they really, the Secret Service, they get to people, again, based on an emotional need, but initially it's with force, like in the movie, you know, without giving spoilers,
and Mossab Youssef, the story was about the son of the founder of the Hamas in the West Bank. Mm-hmm. He was arrested a couple of months before having 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And like during like a year, the recruiter worked with him in order to turn him into an informant, and the guy, the Green Prince, he was called in the intelligence service, discovered many operations of Hamas, and many cells were dismantled, cells that have intention to carry out attacks against Israel were dismantled based on the information he gave, including his father, who was arrested, and he is still arrested because of information that Mossab gave, and he became Christian, who is living now in the States.
Can you tell me if there's a magazine, an article, a website, anywhere where I could reference that statistic that you mentioned about Shin Bet being the second biggest employer on the Palestinian?
No, I don't have any reference.
Did you say it that I can link to it? I mean, other than my speaking to you, obviously that's fine, but have you said this to anybody? Is this been battered about by anybody?
Yeah, I've been telling this, and I can tell you that I double check it with the Palestinian authority, who didn't like the information, but they admit that.
Who said the first? Where did we get that?
This information.
The second employer, yeah.
Yeah, from somebody who worked in the in the Shabak, who is totally civil servant, and now, and I double check it with the Palestinian authority. And they admit that with many pain that it is really something that makes sense. Listen, you have in the tough years of the Intifada, you had 12,000 persons in jail, and you had like 4,000 or 5,000 persons who got killed. Many of them were kind of these wanted guy, and in order to reach each one of them, you need to have many circles to reach them.
Can I get your personal opinion of what you felt about the documentary, which was called, Seven Broken Cameras?
Five Broken Cameras.
Five Broken Cameras. What was your take on that? Did you feel?
I didn't see the movie, but yes, I covered the demonstrations and the rallies that were taking place in Na'alin and Bilayin and other place from very close. And yes, I can tell you that the army have difficulties to deal with these kind of protests. Unlike the story of Ibrahim, where you know that this is your target, you got to get rid of him, whether arresting him or shooting him. Here the situation is very different, and the situation that was described in the movie was pretty very accurate.
Can I ask you something really simplistic and not even germane to the film? It just popped into my head. Why are there so few trees in that neck of the woods in your country? I every time I see a movie, there's almost no tree. Buildings, roads, one tree here, one tree, but no real shade anywhere. Why is that? You think there are plenty of trees?
Depends where.
Yeah. That was just my general impression. It's very rocky, it has an arid look to it.
Oh, it's at the edge of the desert. I don't know.
The region of the movie was very rocky. Yes, the mountains between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. It's not characterized by trees, but there are many regions full of trees. Yeah.
What did you think of the other one? I was told to see, and I'm going to see next week, is Omar. How does that Have you seen that? I hear no, that's somewhat similar.
I must admit that unfortunately I didn't have time, and I want to see the movie. I didn't see it yet.
You've not seen Omar?
I've seen it.
Okay. What is your opinion of it? What do you think? Is it similar? I haven't seen it yet.
It is similar. Okay. It's similar, not filmic. In the filmic sense, it's not similar at all. It's just similar in the sense that it involves an intelligence officer and a younger Palestinian guy.
Okay.
It was funny. We actually heard Hani actually shot that film like 10 months after we shot our film.
He's a friend of yours?
No, we just know him. He's an Israeli director. I mean, he's Palestinian or whatever, but he's like shooting in Israel. It's the same kind of people, the same crew, so everybody knows.
Yeah.
So he actually shot it 10 months after us. When we were finished, some crew started working on it and said, hey, you know, Hani is shooting this film that's like very similar.
Mm.
So we were, and I think it's interesting that even in America in the year before our film, or during that, you know, everything became about intelligence work. You know what I mean? Like that was the thing. That was the thing in the air, probably, in the stars. I don't know. It's Hani's film is different, I think, because Hani's film is a film that tries to say something, I think. It tries to protest something, whatever. And we are not. We are a film that tries to show something. And we also come from both directors. We kind of get you the Israeli perspective and the Palestinian and the Israeli, and we try to kind of show you something and not tell you. I'm not saying it is a bad or good. We just really try to to look at the reality through the character's eyes. I'll give you an example. Like we did the research and we talked to all these wanted militants, like Badawi in the film, that are Al-Aqsa Brigade leaders. And they would, and the film is located in the post-intifada era, 2005, let's say, when the Palestinian Authority kind of dropped these people and didn't want much to do with them and started to get other people from them, and some of their guys wanted to put them back on salary. So if you talk to, as we did, Ali knew these people very well, we went to the refugee camps, whatever, and we talked to them. If you talk to an Al-Aqsa leader, he would tell you how the Palestinian Authority stabbed him in the back or really gave up on him. He gave his blood in Intifada and now they... So the portrayal of the Palestinian Authority as corrupt, for example, in the film, is not because me and Ali think it's corrupt. It's because an Al-Aqsa leader in 2005, that's what... So it's his point of view, and that's the secret to the film. To understand from you, to understand that really what you see is people's points of views.
Right.
What an Al-Aqsa leader world looks like, what an informant world look like, what is a secret service guy... And you see the world, and when you see something from somebody's perspective, you know, they kind of, you know, it's a different than we saying it's this or that, you know what I mean?
So 2005 was the year where Arafat disappeared. Where Arafat disappeared and a new president came to the Palestinian Authority. He decided violence won't be a Palestinian tool to achieve political goals, and they decide to put an end to any process of financing those guys. And at this moment, many intelligence services, many players like the Lebanese Hezbollah, like the Iranian, everybody started playing around those guys in order to have influence.
Like Hamas in the film.
And Hamas was, of course, at that period, Hamas was very weak in the Palestinian Authority. He was very strong in Gaza, but in the West Bank he was very weak. And financing those guys was his way to get back to the scene, but not to get back to the scene as Hamas, because he thought we are the resistance. While Abu Mazen, Mahmoud Abbas, the new president, said, "We Fatah, we don't believe in violence,"
mm-hmm.
and financing his guys, the Fatah, the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade, financing them allowed the Hamas to say, "You see, listen, we're not only the guys, we're not the only one to carry out attacks. When you ask us for ceasefire, go and impose it over your people, over the." And this is how Badawi and Ibrahim got into the circles of Hamas.
The landscape.
I have two friends who received, two guys who were sources, two members of the second and third circle of the Palestinian of the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigades, one day they received a phone call to get to near a checkpoint near the city of Nablus, telling them that we're Hezbollah and we want to give you money. And when they were there, they were the Shabak, the Israeli Shabak, who got them, and they're until now in jail. So this was an era where many players got into the scene in order to have influence and impact over the political situation.
You know, I saw a really interesting film at Telluride. Have you guys ever been to the Telluride film?
We were. The film.
You were there.
Sorry. How was in Telluride?
Pardon me.
Which film did you see?
I saw, not this year, last year.
Oh, okay.
There's an interesting film about a doctor and his, or I think his wife.
Yes, I haven't seen that. The attack.
Was a martyr.
The attack.
Yeah.
Yes.
The attack.
I want to see it. Yeah. I couldn't see it. You know, with the Suleiman.
Yeah.
Written by the Moroccan guy or a French guy. Yes. I wanted. They actually shot when we shot at about the same time in Wolfson, even in Israel. Yeah. So when we always heard about it, but we didn't see it.
That was pretty. It seems like all the interesting, good films that are coming out of that region.
Right.
Most of them seem to be more understanding of, sympathetic towards the Palestinian side of the conflict.
Yes.
And I read a piece right as I was writing my own piece
right.
about how much I liked your film, in which a guy complained that he felt that you had removed all the political context and the people on the Palestinian side of things were maybe a little more opportunistic, thinking about the money, thinking about the personal power, whereas the Shin Bet characters were more, focused and, you know, just down to the job. There were more negative characteristics with the Palestinian characters than there were the Shin Bet. I didn't feel that way, but this guy was saying that. And have you had much of that? Is that they feel that you're slanted, you're not being completely fair or being equal?
I'm a Palestinian. I cannot be unfair towards my people. I'm an Israeli citizen. Israel is my country and my state, but I'm a Palestinian.
But do you know what I'm talking about with guys saying that they felt it was unbalanced or not fair?
I will tell you that the situation was unbalanced. There was the Israeli system, there is a government, there is an intelligence service, there is a clear hierarchy, while in the Palestinian Authority it was a no man's land. Everybody who could receive money from Hamas or Hezbollah felt that he is the big boss of the region where he was acting. And if there is a feeling of something that is not equilibrated, it was the situation and the reality was not equilibrated.
Right.
But the Palestinian hero of the film, like let's say Badawi, was all the time busy for surviving, while the intelligence agent, at the end of the day, he came to his family, he ordered the pizza, and he having his family day-to-day life. So at this very basic level, the situation was not equilibrated. And when looking for money, I don't think it's something negative. You look for money to survive, you look for money. And I know that people at this time of 2005 didn't have even telecards, SIM cards to call people to ask for a place to sleep. They didn't have money for cigarettes. So for basic thing, it's not like we want money because to become wealthy or rich people.
Just to get by, is what you're saying.
Exactly, and more important, to continue the struggle against Israel, like Badawi said. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit about the Palestinian Authority wanting to have a ceasefire. I want to continue the struggle, first because I'm Palestinian, and second because now I have a special account to make after them killing Ibrahim.
Right.
And you cannot resist, you cannot have resistance and this kind of struggle without money.
Let me tell you, can I say something about this? Because this is the guy, I'll tell you a few things about this. One is that, like you said, there is a genre of Israeli film usually done by with the intention to show how corrupt the occupation is, which is a fine goal, you know, and it and in many ways, you know.
Also, Waltz with Bashir also.
Waltz with Bashir is actually, Waltz with Bashir is different. It's more about the pain of the soldier and the massacre. I don't know, Waltz with Bashir. But I'm saying a lot of time about the occupation, there is a tendency of Israeli films to be saying, we're criminals, and to portray the Palestinians as not people really, but as, you know, innocent, propertyless, noble people that an injustice is done to them, which many Palestinians actually, when we brought back, you know, people, you know, they see it as patronizing because they are just a reflection of our guilt. This thing, you know, because they're not people. They're like, you know, people who have olive trees and that's it. You know what I mean? And we didn't come, as that's what I said to you before, to say and to say something. We came to show something. We came to see really what's going on. If there was chaos in the territories in those years, that's what we're going to show. We're not going to, you know what I mean? But we showed every character. We were very careful to show every character with a lot of respect. Badawi, for example, okay, or Sanfur, or the father, okay, of the Ibrahim and Sanfur, they are like, I think, fantastic characters. The film shows them, you know, as people with flaws, but with many great, you know, just like the Israeli stuff. And to say that the Israelis are good and Palestinians are bad, it sounds to me so, I don't understand how you can say it, because let me give you an example, or to say, let me say this. They say, he said, not they, because let me tell you something about this guy, just imagine. This guy is very, 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 very extreme left, okay? Very, like, in Israel, both left and right embraced this film in an unparalleled way. Usually a film is branded left or right and half the country hates it. Huh. In our film, left and right go to see this film, and they say it's the first time, and we're dealing with the most explosive thing. You know, Tzipi Livni, who's the justice minister from the left party, who's now responsible for the negotiations with the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Okay, she's the minister. She stopped an interview last week. Can send it to you by mail. It's like, and she said, "Did you see Bethlehem? I'm still thinking about this film, and it so portrays the reality, and it's so complex, and I don't even know how to place it." And that's how people reacted.
I wanted to say that the reality, it is shown in the film. It is the reality, and it demands us to act quickly in order
exactly.
to...
Exactly. So it's actually, a leftist usually see this film as a call to action. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he is, this guy is really an outlier, and it's not how really people think. So, and I'll give you an example. He says, for example, the occupation is not present in the film. And for me, I think it's ridiculous because, you know, they think that to show the occupation, there's one way to show the occupations, like checkpoints. But since we're a film of point of view, Badawi is a wanted guy. He's never going to go through checkpoints. I'm not going to show checkpoints, just like I'm not going to show a suicide bombing, because Razi is not going to be next to a suicide bombing. Israelis tell me, why don't you show a suicide bombing so they understand us, they saw the... Because the character wouldn't see it, so you wouldn't see it. Or checkpoints, you wouldn't see it. So, but look what the film does show. It shows a Palestinian father whose son, a hero, dies, and you see his pain, and it's the most emotional scene in the film.
Yeah.
That for them is a hero. And then you see him find that his other son is a collaborator, and you see the pain on his face. Do you say there's no occupation in the film? I have to show you a checkpoint to show you the occupation? I saw something so much more, we saw this so much more radical and deep thing. Mm. I mean, if we show checkpoints immediately, people in Israel would say, ah, we know that film, we know, you know, it's like a guy who writes in the paper that it's an extreme left.
Us.
Yeah, we see it all the time, and we know it's when the left is like they're showing us, and so they will brand us left, and they would not see, and nobody would see. Mm. And this way we got them to see things that they would never see, because we avoided the, oh, you know, and that's why we angered those in the extreme left, because we broke the pattern of how this thing is represented. Mm. Not because it's not there. And how can you say it's not there? You know what I mean?
And the monologue that the Palestinian patient in the hospital while playing the game with the Israeli agent, he started the whole novel when discovering that he was an Israeli Soviet secret agent. He told him about how he sees the impact of their work over the
right.
Palestinian
right.
over the Palestinian society. So it is, I think, a much better way to show the reality than to have antagonism because you show an Israeli soldier like kicking.
If you put a sign on somebody here from the beginning, he is bad. But if you show them as human, is the Secret Service guy in the film the good guy? He's charming, that's his job. He gets an intimate relationship with that's his job. This is not love against the other, that's his job to create this thing. Mm. And then you see him using him, and then you see him veiled threat, come to a meeting or will destroy your house. You see at the end how he betrays him and sends him back to bed. You see his job. He's not like...
I didn't see it as a job. I felt that he really cared.
Of course he cared about it, but that's his job. That's what they all say. That's what's so amazing about this. Is that they all say that my job is to create this. I develop, they say, a source for years. For 5 years. And I'm like their shrink. They call me 9 times. Of course I become attached to them. It's not, what I'm saying is it's his job to become attached to them and use them.
Mm-hmm.
Attached and used. And the attachment is not fake. You can't fake something for 5 years. You can fake something for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You can torture somebody to do something and then they lie to you. It's not working on torture. Never. I mean, the torture or the pressure, like come to a meeting, whatever, is in the beginning maybe. But then you have to get to their heart and you have to attach to them. And you yourself, they always say, get attached to them. And it's your job. It's what happens in the film is something that happens all the time. You know the Green Prince, if you read about him, the Hamas guy? I heard.
What do they call the Green Prince by that?
Green Prince because green is the color of Hamas, and Prince because he was the son of a king. That was the Green Prince.
Okay.
So he is now a lawyer, okay? The guy, the handler.
Okay.
Left Shabak.
Mm.
This guy escaped to America. Has nothing to do with the Palestinian Authority, even became a Christian, whatever. They still talk every couple of days.
Huh.
And I'm just telling you to share with because they work together for 6 years, they become close, and that's so a Secret Service guy always tells you, I become close to the guy,
yeah.
And of course I use him, and at the end the system might tell him sacrifice him, and I have to, but it's always difficult because I become close to him. So what the film portrays is not some romanticized human bond created against adversity.
Yeah.
It's what happens all the time.
Mm.
And it's their job. And Americans too, CIA, if you read the case officers, and I read about them, the same thing they tell you, that it's distinct.
In the dialogue between the son and the father, when the father discovered that his son is suspected for being a collaborator,
right.
The son told him, they throw you one day in jail, and the handler told me that if I don't come to a meeting,
right.
He would leave you in jail forever,
right.
And he will destroy our house. So we had also this aspect
of the pressure. Yeah, so but Badawi says, you know,
they're heroes
with the pressure, but then he's young and he gets to him and they become like close and then he becomes his best friend and he gives you what you don't get at home, he gives you.
Yeah.
And then you become attached to you. And he says this,
too.
You know, and Badu even, these guys know the Al-Aqsa people, what's going on.
So he asked the father, how come you didn't give the attention
right.
to the kid
right.
that you pushed him to the hands of the,
right.
the handler?
Even, mm-hmm. you know, when he asked Badawi asked the father permission to use him to give him a chance to revenge, he kind of subtly blames him. He says, like, the fact that he didn't get at home what he should get, the kid, and he went there, like, it's yours, you know? And he doesn't say it.
Right.
We kind of, when we wrote this stuff, we were thinking, he doesn't say it, but that's the subtext of what he's saying. And the father reacts to it. If you see, the actor gets it. The actor is like, he says, why are you interfering? He kind of jumps because he feels that it's like he puts it on him. He said, you kind of failed a little bit as a father, and then such a young kid can go and drift from us.
The two leads in your films are non-actors, correct?
Yes. Three of them.
Obviously,
the kid.
You,
huh? The kid also. Three of them. There's...
Who's the third one?
By the way.
Oh, right.
The triangle. We see it as a triangle. So, yes. All of them non-actors.
So you felt, obviously, that if you had hired actors to play these parts, that somehow it would seem like acting. You felt there was something more instinctual?
It wasn't... a decision that in advance was taken. What happened, it's like we rolled into it. We first found the kid, and he was obviously not an actor, he was 16 and a half. He was a genius, amazing, we fell in love with him.
Right.
Very quickly we knew it was him. And by the way, we found in some location scout, like we went to see locations, and the Arab producer for the Palestinian Israeli side, he said, I have this guy who works with me, has a great face, you gotta see him. And I didn't take it seriously. I thought, okay, he's gonna be Al-Aqsa, you know, guy number five in the background if he has a good face. He came, started, Ali was there by mistake, and then, because it was a location thing. We started talking to him, interviewing him, and then improvising with him. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing. He was just like this charismatic, whatever. We brought him to another audition in Tel Aviv, and another, and then we did an audition in Ali's house, and we kind of really, and I was amazed by him, and then we decided to go with him. So we had two already. And then we put an Israeli actor, professional, and he was very actory. And exactly then what you said happened, that we stuck out. Mm. So we let him go like 5 weeks before the shoot, which was scary as hell. And we went to all the people who are like the security experts that we talked to, all the people that we did the research with, and army people, secret service guys, whatever. And I said, I need somebody who speaks Arabic, who looks good, who is a personality. I need a miracle here. And they started throwing people at me, just non-actors, nobody, like people that most of them shouldn't be even in a photograph. And suddenly Tzachi came. And that's amazing. So I'm saying it wasn't that a priori we decided to this, but it kind of, we rolled into it. And then you have Tzachi playing Razi, who's an Israeli guy who was an officer in a, you know, elite unit serving in the West Bank.
Right.
And you have Badawi Haitham, who's a Palestinian who experienced the Intifada on the other side. Okay? And both of them are in the same movie. Like me and Ali came and wrote it together. These two guys come in. So this film, I think what makes it work is that people from both sides came to make it. And that's the only way to make such a film. I couldn't make this film alone. Ali couldn't make this film alone. You need people from both sides to make it, you know, because it shows you both sides.
You know, this film made me think of John Ford's The Informer.
Right.
But I was thinking that this is a much, much more interesting, more complex plot than The Informer. The Informer is really about a big man who's basically a child. He doesn't have any complexity to him.
Right.
He just likes to, you know, he wants love and he likes to enjoy his, you know.
Right.
And it's just really about when is he going to finally figure out that he's done what he's done.
Right.
This is much more interesting. Much.
Right.
Really a good story.
Right.
How many times did you...
Because the situation...
How many drafts did you do?
Man, we worked 3.5... Let me tell you something. Okay, I went to this. 3.5 years we worked. 3 to 4 years. Almost 4 years, okay?
Who did the first draft? You did the first. You did it. You did the first. Or?
No, the contact no. Was.
I started it, and then I very quickly threw somebody I met. I had the idea to do it, and then immediately I looked for somebody to work with me. And initially, I looked for, just like with the actors, I looked for writers who are Arab, Israeli, Palestinian writers, but they didn't know anything. You know what I mean? And why would I? And Ali, a friend of mine, said there's this guy who's very talented and he works and whatever.
Yeah.
You know Edgar Keret, the Israeli writer? Some people know him. He's a famous Israeli writer. Writes short stories. Bestsellers even in Amazon. Whatever, he said it to me. He's a friend of mine. He said Ali. So we started working and it was Ali's first script. It's my first film, but I wrote some scripts before. But so he thought like we'll be finished in like 6 months, a year. I said no. Like in the second year is like, what the hell, you know, because what happened is that we researched and every time new information came and new stuff, and we said let's put it in, and it's changed, and we researched for like research wrote for 3.5 years, because the balance to get is the balance between something that's structured like a thriller, like a drama, human drama, character build up, plots that intertwine, pacing, like a film, but that it's also like a mirror or a window into reality, and to get the balance between these two things, that's the hard part.
It was the ninth script that was filmed, and I can tell you that the amazing thing that while writing,
I was always receiving from my sources in the Palestinian Authority, listen, the Israeli army is making circle around one leader of the Al-Aqsa Martyr Brigade, and Yuval start asking me, oh, ask them on the phone. We're sitting, writing, and I receive information that I should pass to my website, and Yuval asked me, I will tell them exactly to describe how look the soldiers, the guards, how look the cafe where the wanted guy was, and the army is now circling in order to arrest him. So because of my job, because of my work, all the time we got this kind of information that made the details, the small details in the movie more and more accurate and more realistic. And this is why people, when they hear the story before seeing, they say it's a documentary, and it's not a documentary. It's a feature, but it's completely.
But it is based on very accurate and very basic details of the story.
Right.
Very, very. Also, I was very impressed by the ending. The ending is really strong. I presume, like any creative act, you thought of different endings.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you always have this ending in mind?
No, we always knew that he's gonna kill him.
Yeah.
That was all. But we had little variants of it and whatever. And
but he wants to run away. He wants to leave and escape into Israel. Before
he kills him.
I know, but before he does, he really
because
does.
Because he's very confused. Yeah, because, you know, as a character, he's confused. He's both, you know, he wants to do what Baidoo said, but he's also loyal to him. So he's a kid. So we show how he's confused and he's doing both things. You know, he's in a way, you know. This case happened. It happened like two times that an informant managed to kill a handler.
Oh, really?
Two times in the Secret Service and one time in Army Intelligence. And they were all brutal killings because that's why we did the brutal ending because actually it's an index of intimacy, because you know it's like somebody kills a parent, they're mad and they feel guilty and they're mad, you know, it's like. It's not if you just shoot somebody, it's because you have nothing with it. It's like the brutality is actually because it's so intimate.
Right.
Because you kill a father figure.
Yeah.
And that's what we. But we thought about it a lot.
Hmm.
And about the specifically about, don't tell it in the article, about the stone, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
We thought about it a lot. It's hard for me to watch it. I don't like gratuitous violence. I'm like you.
You shot it well too. You didn't show too.
I tried to do it as least pornographic as I can. It's not like I'm trying to. You know, I really try to. I don't like gratuitous violence. Like,
right. You know. How long ago did it open commercially? Your film.
6 weeks.
The 6th of September was the opening in Israel.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was almost, it was just a little bit after it showed at the Venice Film Festival.
Yes.
I saw the video of you guys talking in
the beginning of September we were in the Venice Film Festival.
Yeah.
No, end of August. Oh, whatever, it's just on the line there.
Are two of the actors coming here to join you?
Yeah, you should talk to them if you want. They're fascinating.
What day are they coming here?
Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. I think they're Tuesday here. By the way, the older, you know, not the kids. The kid is in school, we didn't want to take him.
Uh-huh.
But the Badawi, who plays, Aitam plays Badawi, and Razi who plays, and they're fascinating together. I'm telling you, because they're coming from both sides. Their lives are so different.
Yeah.
Their perspectives, and they're now friends, and you get a chance.
Yeah, I'd like to.
You should, they're fascinating. Both.
Are you going to go to one of the screenings of your film with them?
Of course, that's why we're Variety, Hollywood Reporter, and we have another WME something. Yes, we're going to go. People must meet them because they're so interesting.
Yeah. Is Karen the person that we talked to? She's handling the whole
thing? Sure, I'd be glad. Like, really, you should. Right. They're great.
In the notes that she is passing out about your film, is your website in the notes? You mentioned your website.
No, the Ynet News is the leading news website of Israel. It's an Israeli one.
It's not your website.
No.
What you contribute to? You contribute to a website.
Yeah, it's like Huffington Post. it's a website. He worked.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it got mixed because in a bio there was written that I was for a while having my own small website in
that's
Tel Aviv.
That's why they say, because I said the intelligence.
Yeah, I was working as a journalist in a website, but immediately after I finished it, I opened a small one in Arabic. Nothing had to do with my work in YNET, as a Palestinian correspondent. It was a private business that has nothing to do with the. With the political.
How many languages do you speak?
Five.
Hebrew,
Arabic, French, English, and Spanish. That I start to forget it now.
Uh-huh. You know that you saw him in the film. That there's a cameo. Is himself when Badawi on the roof doesn't know what happened. He calls a reporter in the mall, who tells him on the that actually Ibrahim was dead. That's him, and that's exactly the call he was getting. He was playing himself in the film. You know.
I'm gonna watch it again.
Come tomorrow. We have in Chinese, 6:30.
Oh, that's what I'll do then.
Yeah. Want me to keep a ticket for you? Tell me one, two. You need a ticket or two? Tell me. We're just keeping tickets.
This won't get me in.
I don't know. But I'll tell him. Wouldn't
hurt to have a ticket.
I'll get you a ticket. One or two. One.
Two.
Two. All right. I'll tell him. We're playing tomorrow at 6:30, and we're gonna have a Q&A afterwards. I think.
At the Chinese?
Yeah, here.
Okay. In the big theater?
No, it's the little one. I think the Egyptian is Monday, 1:00. Also, it's good.
Can I get a picture of you guys on that couch? I like the light that's on the.